Morning, Booker Tov. Today's Amud Reisa is Psachim Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. Nun Hey Amud Beis. We left off toward the bottom, right at the bottom of the page of Nun Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara, the Mishnah said, I discussed that one is allowed to any malacha that would start before the Arbasar, he's able to finish on Arbasar, but he shouldn't start Betchila malacha on Arbasar, even though he can finish on Arbasar. The Gemara then asks on that psak from our mayor in the Mishnah. The Gemara had three options of what that means. Does it mean the Mishnah talking about a case of Letzerech HaMayid? And Dafka Letzerech HaMayid, can one complete even something that was started? But Shalei Letzerech HaMayid, you're not even allowed to complete something that was already started. Even something started, you can't complete. Again, we're talking about a place where the minhag is not to melacha. So even something was started, you can't complete. Or does it mean Adrabah? We're talking about where it's not Letzerech HaMayid. Now Letzerech HaMayid, you're allowed to complete, but you can't start. Letzerech HaMayid, you're even allowed to start. Or there's no chilek between Letzerech HaMayid or not Letzerech HaMayid. Those were the three options. The Mara wanted to understand what the Mishnah's case is in Remeir, and the Mara Tribing Raya in the last year we discussed the Mara Tribing Raya, the Mara Deflects the Raya. We're picking up from Tashima, right at the bottom of the Amud. Tashima, bottom of the name of Rebbe Meir Eimer, Kamalach Shi Letzerech HaMayid, Eimalach, which is required for the Letzerech HaMayid, Gaimer Tafamayis, but Arba Asr, you allowed to finish a Arba Asr. When could you do that? Only when you started before Arba Asr. If you didn't start before the 14th, then you're not allowed to start on Arba Asr. Afilu tzitzel katan, afilu shachva katana, afilu shivach katana. Even if it's a small belt or a small hairnet, you can't even start it on the 14th. But it's very clear, this Braisa had said, even things that are the tzayrich hayamtiv, and still, you cannot start. You can only complete. Letzerech Mayid in, Shlaya Tzerech Mayid Lai. This is the Chorik Klei Raya. The Daf Letzerech Mayid is permissible. Shlaya Tzerech Mayid is not permissible. Gemara says, no. Who had that feel Shlaya Tzerech Mayid Nami Gaminan? I would say that even Tzerech Mayid also, you'd be able to complete. Even Shlaya Tzerech Mayid, you would be able to complete. V'ha Kamashman that feel Tzerech Mayid. Migmar in Eschul Way, we were stressing Letzerech HaMayid to teach you the Chiddush the other way. That even when it's Letzerech HaMayid, one's only allowed to complete that which was started, one cannot start the Chetchila. But if someone's completing, if one is only completing something, even if Shalei Letzerech HaMayid, he would be able to complete it on the 14th. So we deflected that Raya as well. Tashima. Remeir Eimer Kamalach Hashil Letzerech HaMayid. Any Malach which is Letzerech HaMayid, Geimer Baba, so you can finish it on the 14th. V'she'ein Letzerech HaMayid, but if it's not Letzerech HaMayid, then Lalach is Aser, one cannot complete it on the 14th. That seems pretty clear. You're allowed to finish that which is Letzerech HaMayid, you're not allowed to finish that which is not Letzerech HaMayid. V'yisit Malacha Ba'ar Yipsachim, Achat Tzayis Mark V'shanagu. In a place of the Minig is to Malacha, we can do Malacha until Chat Tzayis, if that is the Minig HaMakam. Now, make a diak. Makam V'shanagu in. And a place where the minig is to work, that's where it's permissible to complete the melacha. But a place where the minig is not to work on Pesach, then you cannot complete it unless it's for Tzerech HaMayid. Shema Mina, Tzerech HaMayid in, Tzerech HaMayid Lai, Shema Mina, Taka Gedraya. This way it's pretty clear that Dafka Tzerech HaMayid can one complete the melacha on the 14th. Shema Tzerech HaMayid one cannot complete. Again, in a place where the minig is to do melacha, then of course you can complete it. In a case where the minig is not to do melacha, over there, you are able to complete something that was started, and it's Tzerech HaMayid, you can complete it. Even if it was started, but it's not Letzerech HaMayid, Yitaka cannot complete it, Shema Mina, it's a raya to that Malach in our Mishnah. So it comes out, something not Letzerech HaMayid, you are not allowed to complete. Something Letzerech HaMayid, you are allowed to complete. Something which wasn't even started yet, you're not allowed to do either. Okay. So even if it's Letzerech HaMayid, says the Gemara now. We had said in the Mishnah, Chum said, there's three types of umnim that are able to do their work on Erev Yom Tov Chatzos, namely the tailors, the barbers, and the launderers, because those are things that are clearly needed for Yom Tov. And it basically added also the shoemakers. Okay. Tana. Hachiratim the tailors. What's the pshat why the tailors are permissible? Shekein hegyut teifer kedarke kol shemayit. Because a hegyut, someone who doesn't know how to add a tailor with the skill, so his stitches are imperfect, he's talking about it so on chalamay kedarke. Since and for an uman, a fachman, the heter would only be to do it in an unusual way. But since there is some sort of heter to sew on chalamayin, therefore there's a heter also on Erev Yontif. It's not mamash kavah chaymer, but the idea is, the way they're trying to explain, that since the Erev Yontif is certainly a little bit more lax than Chol HaMoed. It's a madrega below Chol HaMoed. So Chol HaMoed, if there's some sort of heter, there's going to be at least a heter of similar ilk. Over here we're saying a bigger heter. We're allowing the umnim to still work on the morning of Erev Yontif. But we're saying it's obviously not just Kavuchayim, because then you'd say Dailov Menadin, Yeskenadin, and you'd only allow for a Maisa Hegyet, not for a Maisa Uman. Here we're allowing Erev Yontif for Maisa Uman, but we're connecting with saying just like on Mayan itself, there's a heter, on Erev Yontif there's going to be even a slightly bigger heter. Okay. Sapar Vakavisin, barbers and launderers, they're able to do their work on Erev Yontif Techotes. Why? We know a famous halacha. Someone that was released from jail or came from overseas who didn't have a chance to get a haircut before Yom Tov, they get a haircut or wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed. The whole reason why everyone else can't, even if it's a need for Mayan, is because we're scared you're going to purposely delay your haircut or your laundry, because you're going to be busy with other malachas till Yom Tov, and you're going to delay it till you get to Yom Tov, and you're going to come to Yom Tov unkempt and apakavadik. So in order to avoid for that, there's that kind of that you can't do these things on Yom Tov, even on Sesarach Yom Tov, you can't do it. But when a person's mamish einus, like someone coming out of jail, someone that was traveling from overseas, he has a leniency. Once we see there's a leniency for that, on Erev Yom Tov, we say it's mutter for everyone to engage in the services of the launderer or of the barber. Basically, Aymer, Erev Pesach, actually in the morning, is a very popular time for the haircuts, of course, because we know you're running into Svira. People don't want to, they're going to go a long time without a haircut, so they want to keep, wait till as close to Pesach as possible. Maybe it's cutting a little close, Erev Pesach in the morning, but the point is that it's definitely not uncommon. Basically, Aymer, Af Haratzanim, also the shoemakers. Why? What's the heter on Chol HaMoed of shoemakers? Those who are in the regal, they're allowed to repair their shoes during Chol HaMoed. It's Pesach HaMoed. The whole part of they went up with the knowledge that if the shoes need repair, it'll have to be repaired on Chol HaMoed. And that's heter on Chol HaMoed. And therefore, we say certainly before Yom Tov. The Chol HaMoed don't agree to this last kula. What the machlokes is? There's a big difference between making new shoes. Shoemakers typically are busy making new shoes. On Chol HaMoed, they're fixing the people's existing shoes, but typically they're making new shoes. So Rabbi Yehuda was extrapolating, just like they could fix the shoes of the Eilei Regalim on Chol HaMoed, they could even make new shoes on Erev Yom Tov for someone who needs. Whereas Chacham said, no, you can't learn out making new shoes from fixing old shoes, and therefore it's not a valid source. Okay, before we go further, this is an interesting discussion. The Ritva brings that all these ideas that we're saying, since on Chol HaMoed, you're able to do laundry, you're able to get haircuts, you're able to, what was the first case? You're able to also tailor clothing. That's why it's mutter before Yom Tov. Ritva says it's really just what he calls a smach ba'alma. It's a smach. It's not really the reason. The reason why it's mutter Yom Tov before Chatzais is because malacha to Chatzais is for something that's mamish needed for Yom Tov. The Chachamim said, we're not going to make that aser. So if something that's mamish needed, like tailoring, like haircuts, like laundry, that's why it's permissible. This time we're connecting it to Chol HaMoed, it's just a little geshmaka, something to lean on, but it's not our main source. That is the Ritva. However, the Keren Ayah takes issue. The Keren Ayah says, yeah, a little bit shver, because we see this in Machlekes to Rabbanon, and our base for Yudha, like Gabi, the shoemakers, whether they can make new shoes every Yontif, based on the fact that on Chol HaMoed, they are able to fix the existing shoes. But Ibishlam, if you say it's more than just a smach, we're relying somehow on whatever's mutter Chol HaMoed is mutter also on Erev Yom Tov, and maybe even more, then it's kishmak, that's the connection. But if you hold that's just a smach palma, but the real answer is because since it's needed for Yom Tov, Chacham didn't want to answer it, so shoes are certainly needed for Yom Tov, shoes are definitely needed for Yom Tov, so therefore that should be reason enough for all to be matter it, even if it's not the same thing making fresh shoes as fixing old shoes. The fact that the Gemara makes that the machlokes Rabbanan Reis Buda would seem to indicate that the connection to Chol HaMoed is greater than what the Ritva is approaching it, that is the Keren Ayah's dispute with the Ritva. Okay. Zakh the Mishnah. Meshivin Sheifchim. The Tanagalim Barbasar. On the 14th, you're able to put the hens, or you're able to put the eggs under the hens in order that the hens should brood on the eggs. So you're able to do that on the 14th. Nisan, Tanagal Shabarcha, and the case of Tanagal that ran away, you are able to bring it back. Machsinus Alam Kaima, back to a place on top of the egg. Vimesa, and if let's say there was a hen that was brooding on an egg, and the hen dies, then Meshivin Acharas Tachta, you can put another one in its place. The problem, of course, is once it starts brooding on the egg, and the egg starts developing, it's a shittish hair. An egg that wasn't, that the hen didn't sit in at all, is an egg. You have scrambled eggs. An egg that the hen broods on for a while becomes a chick. But in between, is a problem. So you're able to put the hens under the eggs, you're able to bring back a ton of girls that ran away, and you're able to replace it if the hen dies. That's all the number one about the eggs. The number two, in the Mishnah. You could clear away the dung from under the animal's feet on the 14th and get rid of it. But Chalamayit, the 14th Erev Yontif, we're a little more lenient on Chalamayit. When Misalkan suddenly can push to the sides, but you can't, the sides of the animal stall, but you cannot fully get rid of it. And the third din is, Mother Kalim Aviyam Beis Uman, you allow to bring Kalim too and take him back from the Beis Uman, Afishem Seich Mayit. Even though they're not needed for the Yantip, you're allowed to go bring it and take it away. The Gemara is going to explain what this din is. Okay, three din. Ask the Gemara on the first group of dinim, Legabi the eggs. If you tell me you let it place the eggs under the hen, if I can go take an egg and stick it under the hen for the first time for it to brood, certainly I should be able to go bring the hen back that ran away and put it back on top. What's the chiddush? On Rabbi, you're right. Safe for that second case, the Mishnah, the middle case, us and the Chol Shamayid. The chiddush is the first case talking about on the 14th. And Tanagol Shabarcha that ran away, you let it bring it back, is even is on Chol Hamayid. Chiddush is, you let it, if it ran away, you let it even bring it back on top, to put it on top of the egg. I'm Rav Huna. Leishan al tech shleishan l'midah. So Rav Huna says, these leniencies that we're saying about returning the hen to the eggs, even a chalamayin, is only if it's within 3 days of her brooding. Dakata part simra minay, because the heat is still didn't leave her, and she's going to resume doing this brooding on the egg. However, longer than that, it's considered that it already lost its flavor for brooding on this egg, and bringing it back won't help. So therefore, you can't do that. And furthermore, also only talking if it already had started the brooding for 3 days. Why? Because once it brooded for 3 days, the egg may have started developing the status of a chick inside, and therefore stopping it would be an issue. The pesudle be'elagamri, because that was completely ruined the egg. It's not an egg anymore, it's not a chick yet. However, if it hadn't brooded yet for 3 days, then you have no excuse to go get the hen and bring it back. Eat it as an egg. And on the flip side, if it already has been gone for more than 3 days, it's not going to go back, and therefore we have no heter to bring it back on top. It's not going to stay there anyway. Avol, the Gemara spells out for us, Lachash Leish Lamir, if it's 3 days away from the time it ran away from the eggs. The Parashat Tzimra Minei, the heat is no longer connected to brooding for that egg. Or V'tayash Leish Lashiv Yishvasa, or it never was on the egg in the first place for 3 full days. Akat Tepsid Benagami, so the egg is not fully lost yet. Le Madrinan, you can't go return the hen back to its place on the egg. Rav Ami Amar, but Ami says, no, on that second in, that if it didn't sit for 3 days yet, you're not allowed to go get it. He says, yes, even within 3 days, once it started brooding, you can go bring the hen back. Michael Mephigli, what's Machanis for Ami and Afuna about the hen that's brooded less than 3 days, where they can go and get it back? The Machanis gives us whether you worry about Hefsid Muit. They both agree Hefsimur be Yechashish. But Yechashish even Hefsimur, Rav Huna says no, Rav Ami says yes. What's Hefsimur over here? Because till 3 days, they both agree, that not arguing, that the egg didn't change its status, that it's no longer edible as an egg. It's still edible as an egg. But the problem is, if people know that, when people hear that the hen was brooding on the egg for a day and a half, they no longer are excited to eat this egg. The market value goes down. Because it's egg that started, maybe the process, efsher, people don't want to partake the chathil in such an egg. So therefore, it's not a full efsher because it's still edible. It's still an egg, he can eat himself. It's still edible as an egg, someone else can still pay for it, maybe just less. It's not a full efsher, but it's what we call a hefsid mu'it. So therefore, according to Rav Ami, it is a problem because he's chayshish hefsid mu'it, whereas according to Rav Huna, it's not an issue because he's only chayshish for hefsid meruba. Mazdav on the verse, mazdav. Talk to Marvaiter. Gerfin mitachas. We say, Gerfin, you clear away the dung from under the animal on the 14th and you get rid of it. Achalamayit, you can only push to the sides. Tarabon. Hasafa Shabachas, Mitachas, on the devil in the courtyard, you can push to the sides. Shabarefis, that in the stable, Shabachas, Mitzinus Lashba, that can be taken out outside the courtyard totally. You start off saying zevel in the chutzner, move to the sides. Father Tony, v'shevachutzner, missing the cell ashba, that which is in the stable or in the chutzner, you can take outside. By is it dafka to the sides, or are you able to take it totally outside? You know the answer already. On the 14th, you're able to take it all the way outside. On the chalamayid, you're only able to push it to the sides. Rav says no. Both of these prices are talking about Chol Shemayit itself. when we say the second line. The first one was saying, if you have a chatzer, push the dung to the sides. Second line was saying, if it became like, the chatzer became like a refus, because there's so much dung, then might see the slashba, then you have to take it out. Both are talking about chalamayin, initially only that push to the sides, but if there's so much dung there, then you're even able to take it out. When we say letter, take the, bring the kelim to and from the uman, amrav, papa. Patuklam Rav Rav tested us with the following question to we learned the Mishnah Melechim Mevim Kelim Mes Uman. Afishen the Serech Mayed is this. It sounds like even though it's not, it was saying even though it's not Serech Mayed, you're allowed to bring him back and forth these Kelim. That's it doesn't sound like him. Sorry, that was actually the words, the last words of the Mishnah. Afishen the Serech Mayed. But for a mini, we have a steer. This is the steer that Rav opposed. Mevim Kelim Mes Uman. You know, Mevim Kelim back from Mes Uman. Vim Chayshesh Them Shema Yiganvu. But if he's concerned that maybe they get stolen, then Mefanel Chatzar Acheres. You could transfer him to a different courtyard. You go to the Uman. You take it from the Uman. You transfer it to a different courtyard near the Uman, but not back to your house. So we see you can't take it to and from the Uman normally. So we answer Rav Astira like Asha. Time Rav Azar, Kamachal Shemai, the same terrors we've been saying throughout the Zaman, that on the 14th you can mamish take it fully home, whereas on the Chal Shemayid, you cannot take it fully home. You can bring it only to the closest house, but not back to your house. The Baisema or the Gemara now offers another teretz. That was the teretz that Rav Papa said we answer Rava. Another teretz the Gemara offers is Hava b'chol shamayin, v'kasha kam b'maminai, kam b'she'in b'maminai. In the case where you trust the Uman, then you can you have no right to go exert yourself and bring it home. Whereas in the case where you're not maimon, that's the case where we're saying it's mutter to go through the exertion and bring it home. Says the Gemara, this Matanya is not a kasha, it's benichusa, the Yatanya, moving came as Uman, Kagana Kadma base a kader, Fakas base a zagog. You can bring the pitcher from the potter's house, or the glass from the glassmaker's house, Avlay Tamar base a saba, but not the wool from the dyer's house, Vlay Kalim, base Uman, and not the utensils from the house of the Uman, Tim Elim Ayachal. But if the Uman doesn't have what to eat, Nais Nascharai, pay him for the work. This is also about Chalamayid, it should be clear. But you leave it by him through Chalamayid, you can't take it home yet. But if you don't trust him to pay him and leave it by him, then you move it to the house next door. And if he still considers it to be stolen, bring it to his house privately. So again, we see very clearly this price is elaborating that it's totally in Maminai. When you're trusting, you have no right to bring it back. If you're not trusting, then you're able to bring it back. Ask Gemara. This is all talking about Teratz the Mevian. You've answered the stira about bringing it back from the house of the Uman back to your house. But Malichin Kasha, we never answered the stira by Malichin. The Tani Mevian. Vekoski the Malichin. It says he can't bring. Certainly can't bring back. You can't bring home. Certainly can't bring to the Uman on Yom Tov. So that stira didn't answer. So go back to the first answer that what bringing and taking back was more lenient on Erev Yom Tov. That's what was more lenient. Well, Machmer is on during Chalamayin. And talking during Chalamayin, you cannot bring to or from the Uman on Erev Yom Tov. You're able to bring to or from the Uman. So we go back to the first teretz. Otherwise, the bringing in the first place, the Melichin to the Uman would not have an answer. We'll post over here, pick it up from here tomorrow to Shem. But one, actually, sorry, very important point. We're not going to go through the sugya. Atlantis, a long daf. Long Amma today, but there's a major sugya. We said a machlek is about being chayshish hefse meruba, hefse mu chashashu, hefse meruba, hefse meruba chashashu, hefse muot loy chashashu tzafuna. Whereas Rav Ami's chayshish even hefse muot. What are we? What's that gdara of a hefse meruba? One egg, an egg, right? Remember, our egg was saying was hefse muot because it's not fully inedible. It's still edible, but it's not as gishmak. Sounds like, but if it would be fully inedible, hefse meruba chashashu is one egg hefse meruba. So really, Hefse Meruba comes up throughout Shulchan Aruch, comes up throughout Shas, many places. The Pesachei Tshuvos in Hilchos Treifos elaborates on Hefse Meruba, and he brings three basic questions. We'll go through three questions, and we'll just speak at one point as it relates to our sugya. One question he brings up is, what's first of all, how much? What's called a significant loss? What's called Hefse Meruba? How much, number one? Number two is, let's say you have an amount that's, we figure out what that amount is, but let's say you have an individual piece, it's not a loss by itself. But combined with a few other pieces, it is. Do you look at each individual piece separately, or do you combine it together? Question number two. Question number three is there a difference between the buyers and the consumers? For a consumer, it's not Hefse Meruba. But for the wholesale, the manufacturer, for him, it's assuming we combine it together, it is Hefse Meruba. Do you look at it from his perspective, or do you look at the perspective of the purchasers, where each item itself is not Hefse Meruba? These are the shaylas Pesach Shuvah is discussing. So just getting back to the first shayla about the value. So Pesach Shuvah brings a Nachal Shiva that says, Hefse Meruba is not a set amount of money. It's 1/6 were roughly, it's 1/6 from the outside. So roughly 1/6 out of a sixth out of the outside is one in, not 100, one in 120. So it's 20%. 20% loss is considered hefsim ruba. So if you lose one whole egg, and all you have is one whole egg, that would indeed be hefsim ruba. That's all I have. So that would be hefsim ruba. It's not amount of dollar value. It's based on percentage of what's there. However, Harkama argues and says, Avad is all telling in the people involved in there. Monetary situation is telling the people, is telling in the time, the neighborhood, how available something is. It's all based on the judge to make a judgment call. What he considers hefsim ruba in each individual case is not going to know such a thing. But certainly, just because I only have one of these items, if it's not an expensive item, he argues and says that would not be called hefsim ruba. According to the Nachash Shiva, it would be hefsim ruba. Al Gemara with one egg definitely fits better, I would say, at first glance, like the Nachash Shiva. Proposal here, have a wonderful day.